the Bible. It's a big book. Well, a big collection of books. My precious Oxford annotated Bible that was given to me by the bishop at my ordination has 2,386 pages, not including the maps and the index and all those pages in the front that are in Roman numerals before you even start counting the pages. But don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you this morning. Because even at 2,386 pages, I can't see the print. When I was a child, I had a little teeny Bible. It was about this big. It was probably just the New Testament, but it said Holy Bible on the front. And it was so cute in its teeniness. I just loved it. I couldn't see the print in that one either. But it's okay if I can't see the print, because I know the stories, miracles, loaves and fishes, healing, water into wine, walking on water, calming the sea, raising from the dead. I looked up online, how many miracles does Jesus do? And the first link that came up said 33 miracles. Pretty nice coincidence, right? Another source lists 81 miracles in the New Testament. And for the Old Testament, one source I looked at listed 67 miracles and another 83. An all caps headline counted 150 miracles in the Bible. Surely, it depends on how you count them. But however you count them, it's a pretty good number. But even if we go with the biggest number they count, that's a paltry sum compared with the 2,386 pages of Holy Scripture. But that's what we talk about. That's what we latch on to, the miracles, the big stuff. If you were in the building with me, I'd ask you to start calling out Bible miracles to me. Do I hear someone shouting, "Heal the blind man," "Walk on water," "Burning bush"? And I don't need legible print to know about the Bible story of parting the Red Sea. Oh, that's the big stuff. That's a mighty miracle, portending so many things to unfold. It's on every list of miracles, I'm sure. But now let me ask you something. What do you think was harder for God? Parting the Red Sea, the very water that God self-created, or forgiving the people of the Exodus, who once rescued from Egypt by this mighty miracle, in the very next chapter immediately grumble about finding water. And in the chapter about after that, they grumble about how they had plenty of food in Egypt. And then later, in the book of Numbers, they complained that they were tired of the miracle of manna that God had provided for them to eat. So which pages in the Bible tell the real miracle? I wonder. And now, today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew about forgiveness. It isn't one of the miracle stories. In the chapter right before this, Jesus healed a boy who was having seizures. That's a miracle story. This gospel passage is just one of the regular days, talking and teaching in parables. We heard last week Peter making some progress, absorbing Jesus' way instead of the way of the world and being magnanimous. Instead of forgiving three times as the practice, he says to Jesus, "How about seven? Big number. Wouldn't that show I'm getting in the swing of your message?" And Jesus says, "No, Peter, not seven, but 77. That gives us pause when we hear about the not forgiving happening in today's parable. Imagine Peter's face when Jesus said 77. Who can forgive someone 77 times? That would take a miracle. And the boss who forgave the big amount and then sees this person not forgiving a small amount, his anger wells up. We need some forgiveness that would be a miracle right here. And there it is. The miracle of Jesus that takes place on all those other pages of the Gospels that don't have a famous miracle on them. And that miracle is this: a different way to live. A way so radically different from the ethos and laws and practices of the day that it seemed like it would take a miracle for it to happen. But Jesus has no limit to the number of times he can forgive. Lucky for Peter when the cock crowed, right? And lucky for you and me on any given day. How much do we owe? How much might we repent? Who are we afraid to come before? Jesus taught and showed a new way to live that embraced outrageous love, continuing forgiveness, a complete change of the world, of passing along the forgiveness and keeping it going, radical care for each other. It's not a miracle for Jesus. It's who Jesus is. When we are blessed with the water of baptism parting over our heads, the miracle isn't that God loves us and claims us as God's own and will forgive us our sins and hold us throughout our lives. The miracle is that God is bringing us to participate in Jesus' new, different way to live and to do the same. That God is ready to forgive us, already knowing we're going to complain about the manna. Knowing we're going to try to split hairs and keep score so we can get to a limit of how much we should forgive. So that if we have a little or a lot, we can figure out if we're supposed to be forgiving. It's a conundrum because we know God doesn't count that way. In the Bible, the number 7 is the number of completeness and fullness. As the dean preached last week, number 7 is a lot. It's emphatic. That's how often we have to open our hearts. And it's hard to keep our hearts open all the time. Not only because the word can be hard, like it was for the servants who owed money, but because we can be so aware of our own failings or our own perceived lacking. We find it hard to believe that God could keep forgiving us time and again because we have trouble forgiving ourselves. That can be our hardest work, truly. But if we believe in what Jesus came here to do on all those other pages, the non-miracle story pages in the Bible, then that is a miracle that's expected of us. Can you believe that Jesus loves you enough to forgive you continually? If you believe Jesus went to the cross for love of us and rose from the dead for love of us, then I beseech you, consider yourself worthy of forgiveness time and again, worthy of God's love for exactly who you are. That is our miracle. That is Christianity. That's why Paul writes to the Romans with all the confidence in the beautiful words, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Powerful, heartening words. I don't mean just let yourself off the hook for everything or don't repent and keep trying to do better, of course. But if God can forgive you, shouldn't you move forward with God too? Forgiving yourself takes off the clamps that are constricting your heart, so your heart can be fully open to others the way Jesus showed us. And your heart can be fully open to the grace that is continually flowing from the Spirit. We don't have to earn it. The miracle is freely given. It's freely, lovingly, continually given. It's that open-heartedness that will see us through these divided, pandemic, hateful, fire-lashed times. The heart that feels unlovable itself, feels unworthy of God's compassionate, forgiving grace, has a harder time being open and to fully loving others. It may unintentionally look for ways to lash out in its hurt. We fester into the dysfunctional society that we are seeing with a hideous spotlight right now. How many times do we have to forgive ourselves and be open to God's love? Every single time. How many times do we have to reorient ourselves back to Jesus' way? Every single time. How many miracles are in the Bible? Count them up. Maybe it's hundreds if you count liberally. But if there are thousands of pages in our holy book, the real miracle is God among us, showing us how to live in a new way, how to hang in there with ungrateful, cranky people, how to forgive more than 7 times. You don't have to part the Red Sea. That's God's business. But you do have to work on the miracle of changing the whole world. Jesus, on all those other pages of his story, gave us the way to be our business. The early followers of Jesus actually called themselves people of the way. The real miracle of Jesus is not the wonders, but the way he lived and taught us to live. A way that is completely contrary to the unforgiving, power-hungry, greedy, violent way of the culture that he was in, and painfully so in the culture we are in. I look around me in this frightening time. I know you do too. And we're wondering if we're ever going to know the way to find our way through all the toxic smoke that's around us. And we feel like it's going to take a miracle. And it is. But here's the thing. The miracle is in our hands. It's our power and it's our responsibility. Jesus showed us the way, and he sends us forth to miraculously change the world. It's taking us a damn long time, but God's got eternity, and God's love and forgiveness is eternal and boundless. So we're okay. Forgive yourself and acknowledge you are beloved every single day. Let that in so that your heart can bring that way into a world that so desperately needs it. We do have cause, even in these days, to be joyful and to be hopeful, because we know Jesus is with us all along the way. If you can't read the fine print, don't worry. You already know the story, and it's big, every single day kind of reorient the world kind of miracles. Let's open our hearts and go do it.